And also mentioned in the opening prayer that the Passover is near. Yes, it's only like 5 weeks away, getting real close. It seems like, you know, it was just a few weeks ago that we just got back from the Feast of Tabernacles. And so things are buzzing right along. And it's, of course, we are to be examining ourselves. Now, that's something we should actually be doing every day. We just don't want to wait until the spring holidays come to be examining ourselves, which is the time we must probably do it more intently or intensely. But something we should be doing every day of our lives. And we all need to find more time for our prayer and daily Bible study. You know, every fall of the year, as the days get shorter, I have to go to bed earlier. Sometimes, you know, it's like 7 o'clock at night. I am just so sleepy. I have to go to bed and around 7 o'clock. And when I wake up in the morning, it's harder for me to wake up. You know, God made the night for sleeping and the day to be awake. And then as the days get longer and the light is longer, I can stay up much later, of course. But God has it all planned out. But in this time period of each of our days, we have to fit in our prayer and Bible study with God. And that is something that we all need to work on. And let me tell you a little story. This happened actually back in the late 80s. I forget exactly when it was. But do you all remember Mrs. Waller? Mrs. Waller from years ago, she was a widow lady that was blind. And I remember we were all keeping the feast, or most of us were keeping the feast in St. Petersburg, Florida. And that was the real popular place back in those days. Well, Bill and Patsy Murray took Mrs. Waller with them to the Feast of Tabernacles down there. And they took her to a Japanese restaurant. And this is the restaurant where you sit around in a circle, and the chef there, he takes the food and he does all kinds of nice little tricks, and you applaud. Well, he was really on his game. He was flipping the food up and catching it in a bowl, and people would applaud. And Mrs. Waller, you know, she didn't wear the dark glasses. Nobody actually knew she was blind unless you actually knew it. I mean, you couldn't tell by dark glasses or anything. So as he would do these tricks, people would applaud, and then there was like a delayed action, and then she would applaud, you know, and then a smile would come on her face, all delayed action. Well, he was really going through it. He would even take raw eggs, and he would throw them in the air and catch them on the end of his knife, and just doing all these tricks, and he couldn't imagine, how can I get through to this lady? You know, I'm being rejected here. So finally, he did his finale, which had lighter fluid, and the flames went up and everything, you know, and she had the delayed action of applauding. And he finally looks over to her and he says, "Rake up, Grandma, you'll miss the show." And he didn't realize that she was awake, but she just couldn't see. Now, you had to be there, I guess. But anyway, it was really a funny thing. But, you know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to be awake and not be sleepy when it comes to His Word. You know, for learning His Word and for our prayer and our Bible study. And just as Mr. Keller's did, let's turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And I will start in verse 14. It says, "Therefore, God says, awake, you who sleep, arise from dead, and Christ will give you light. He will give you understanding. He will give you discernment through the power of His Holy Spirit." So He doesn't want us to be sleepy when it comes to His Word. He wants us to be awake, awake from the dead. If you don't listen or not interested, it's the same as being dead, because there's nothing really going on there. But He wants us to be awake concerning His Word. You know, and we do have forces in dark places, evil places, and we know who that is. That's Satan and his demons. Satan and his demons wants to take up our time. He is what Satan wants to do. He wants us to cause turmoil or problems or something else to keep us busy doing anything that there is to keep us from our prayer and our Bible study. And we have all of Satan's distractions. And not only his distractions, we make our own distractions as well. We're going to have to discipline ourselves so that we don't get distracted from that. It can cause us to be distracted enough to be sleepy, so to speak, away from our time that we should be with God. And this can cause us to have, one of the things that can cause it is an attitude of apathy, you know, of feeling indifferent. It can cause doubt. It can cause us not to be interested in God's Word. And that is an attitude that can make you feel even void of feelings, like, you know, well, you know, I just really don't have that much excitement about God's Word. It can really get you into a real spiritual funk. Or it could be lethargy, you know, a feeling of drowsiness, feeling of being overpowered, or just, I'm just too tired to think about it. I'm just too tired to get on my knees and pray to God. You know, a lethargy can put you into that type of an attitude as well. It's like a bear that hibernates in the wintertime, you know, and then in the spring slowly wakes up, you know, finally gets into gear. And we can get ourselves into a bind and an attitude just like that as well. But God wants us to overcome this sleepiness. He wants us to not have anything that's going to keep us from His Word, of learning His will. And the time in our life is short to do this in. You know, 70 years, so to speak, or plus, you know, is a blessing from God. We have a whole lot of knowledge of God's Word and His will that we need to be working on. And all the distractions in this life can take it away, and our time is short. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 tells us, "Seek the Lord while He is may be found, and He will abundantly pardon." We must seek God while He may be found in our lives. Revelation 2, let's turn back to Revelation 2. If you will. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 5. Here Jesus is speaking, and He says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars, which are the angels, and in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Those are the churches. "I know your works. I know how you live. I see you. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil." Fine attributes. You know, you don't want to be around anybody that's evil. Picking friends, like Mr. Keller was talking there. Be very careful how you pick your friends. You know, and it should be in your mind that you can't bear those who are evil, that are doing evil things and having evil thoughts. They will rub off. They will cause your good habits to turn to bad habits. "And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." Verse 3, "And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." You did not become sleepy. You were on the job. You were on the ball. But, you know, as you are on the ball, you know, you can say, "Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that for God. And, you know, I'm over here, I'm caring for this and caring for that." We still have to stay focused, because in verse 4, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." It's talking to this church, talking to us. The first love, love of God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. That's where we need to start from with our focus, and then do the things that God wants us to do. But keep focused on what God wants us to do. An attitude of apathy or lethargy can cause us to leave the first love, love of our Father, the one who created us. God wants us to wake up, be alert, be interested. In Revelation 3, you know, at the turn there, Revelation 3:13, and it says throughout this entire section right there, Jesus is saying over and over and over again, he says, "He who has an ear, he who is awake, he who is interested, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." You can take all the passages there about the seven churches there, and they are talking to me and you as well. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Jesus says that over and over again. In Revelation 3 again, let's turn over there. It's only a page over. Let's turn to Revelation 3, verses 15 through 17. Again, he says, "I know your works. I know how you live. I know what your daily habits are, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot." You know, that's what he wants us to do. Make a decision. Be decisive. You know, if you're really not interested, just go on your way and he will deal with you later. But if you're hot, be hot. Don't be halfway about anything. Verse 16, "So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Verse 17, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, you're in sin, and you are asleep." All these wonderful blessings that God gives us, if we think the wrong way, have some evil thoughts in our mind, we will start depending on ourselves. We will be thinking, "Hey, I went out and I worked and I did all this, and it's all because of me." Didn't happen. The very breath that we breathe is a blessing from God. It is a gift from God. And we need to have that in our mind and have a firm foundation of that. God wants us to wake up to that. Wants us to be totally awake and alert. Our country has been getting a lot of wake-up calls. You know, earthquakes in diverse places. Down in Haiti, up in Illinois, over in California, all sorts of places. And also our economy has been a wake-up call. Take a look at what our government is doing. They spend money, and when they run out, they're not like me and you. When we run out, we have to quit spending. They just print more money, which makes our dollar shrink like an ice cube. You know, that is a wake-up call to a lot of us. You know, we work harder and earn less or make less. The dollar is shrinking. These are all wake-up calls. And eventually, this system of living will crash. It will crash down around us. When 9/11 happened, you know, they say that the churches of the world, that the pews were filled right after 9/11. All people, you know, they wanted to go in and get close to God. I mean, this horrible tragedy happened, and it was a horrible tragedy. But they said that the seats were all filled for just a little while, but now they're back empty again. You know, God says, if you have an ear, if you are interested, wake up and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We need to be thinking about that. Romans 13, 11 through 14. You don't have to turn there on that one either. I did cut this sermon down quite a bit. I gave this last week in Bowling Green, so I did cut it down quite a bit. But here's what it says. I'll just paraphrase it. It says, "It's high time to awake out of sleep and put on the armor of light. Because we have no light of our own. We can only reflect God's light that God puts in us. God's Holy Spirit." So we need to walk properly in the day and not in the night, so to speak. In the night, and to be dealing with those and having friends that are thinking evil thoughts and doing things in the dark, so to speak. We need to be walking in the light, in God's light, that He wants us to walk in with that knowledge and that discernment of His will, not of some friend or yourself. That's the knowledge that God wants us to have, and He puts that in us with His Holy Spirit. Again, God says, you know, to wipe the sleep out of your eyes, wake up. cast off any darkness in your life. Anything that is not according to God's will, chop it out of your life. Examine your heart. Examine your mind. Do it daily. Don't wait till the spring holy days, but be even more intense even then in the spring holy days. But do it every day. We have all kinds of scenarios each day in our lives, and Satan is right there to trip us up. So we ask ourselves the question, why do we need to wake up? Let's turn back to James 4. We will turn there. James 4. James 4, and let's read verses 14 through 17. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Any thoughts that you have in your mind that it's all because of you and you're doing, you need to get it out of your mind. That is boasting. That is arrogant. We have nothing unless it was given to us by God. As I said before, even the breath that we have. So our time, our life, we have to make the best of it by learning God's will, walking in God's light, learning the lessons that He wants us to learn so that we can have the character of God. That is what we are striving for. Don't turn there, but Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. You may want to make a note of it there. It says, all will die, and then the judgment. God will open up the books, and we will be judged by His laws, His truth, and His will. How well did we do? How did we do with our works in our life? How did we live our lives? And again, God knows our works. He knows how we live. He looks on our hearts. There are no secrets. You know, it's like we are living on the other side of a two-way mirror. There's nothing that God misses. You might think, well, I'm in secret. I don't even have the light on. I'm here in secret, and, you know, nobody can see what I'm doing here. It's like a two-way mirror with the spotlight on us. God sees every thought that we have in our mind. He looks on the heart. He knows us completely. We don't belong to ourselves. And God says, I'm looking, I'm watching, wake up. I preach to myself. I'm so glad that God writes the sermons. As I said before, when I sit down to start writing, I think on the things that I need to do. And God takes it from there and shows me what to put down. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, if not repented of, but the gift of God is eternal life. All made possible by our Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price for us. 1 John 2:8 says, if we are obeying God and conducting our lives according to His will, the true light is already shining. It's God's light. We have no light of our own. We can only reflect God's light, and He puts it in us. God is cleansing us so that we can reflect His light and glorify Him. He wants us to be like Him. God is our Father. We belong to Him. He created us. Knew us before we were born. Knew us before we were born. We are in a work of progress, and God wants us to wake up. Richard Pennelly told me one time, he says, conversion is instant, and it's also a work in progress. When you are baptized, and then with the laying on of hands, God puts that little mustard seed of His Holy Spirit in you. That's instant. And then we are a work of progress as we go through our daily lives for the rest of our lives. We are to be growing. We need to be awake. We need to be interested. We need to be living God's will. is what He wants us to do. And that's what we need to do if we expect to be in God's kingdom. We are that work in progress. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Last week I made a mistake and went to 1 Peter, but let's turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and let's read verses 19 through 21. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day draws and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy or scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but it's God's Holy Spirit that He put into His holy men, and the holy men there was added in. God's word comes from God, and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God put it into these men that He used, and He's using people all the way through time. Just as I mentioned one time before, that God used Mr. Herbert Armstrong, and He's using me and you as well too. He has called us to do this job that He wants us to do, to spread His word around the world and to every nation. We need to listen up to what the Spirit of God is saying. This is God's work, and He is making a family to live with Him forever and ever. God is preparing a people. Just like the motto that's on the insignia on the front of the lectern here. God is preparing the people. And our daily Bible study and prayer, God's Word, is our guiding light. That's what our guiding light is. God will teach us. He is showing us. In our conversion, to change to be like God our Father, we need to listen up because we are in warfare. Satan wants to do his best to make us fail. And he is laughing all the way. And in order to be protected, we need to put on the armor of God's light. Put it on and live it daily. Live it daily. Don't let Satan get a wedge into us. It's a good idea to shake ourselves sometimes. It's like, you know, we are to closely examine ourselves in the spring. Closely examine ourselves, shake ourselves, because we don't want God to be shaking us. If God has something special that He wants us to do, if He wants to break both legs to get it, He will do it. We need to be shaking ourselves and getting ourselves in line. And God will have mercy on us if we are doing our best to do His will. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be on fire and to do our best daily. To be overcomers daily. And there are many, many things every day that you overcome. Many, many things that you have to overcome. Just as we are all taught, we must consider all of our ways and, you know, and examine ourselves and then take that action. Shake ourselves, beat ourselves up if we need to. Work on ourselves. If there's something that keeps jerking your mind away, fight it. Listen to God's word, pray. Do your Bible study. Take action. Don't be lukewarm at all. So what are some of the things that we need to get rid of in our lives? Let's turn to Colossians 3. God makes them very, very plain here in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, if you have your mind dwelled on that big house on the hill or that fancy sports car or whatever, so, like Mr. Keller said, it's okay to have these things. Have them in the right context so that they don't become idols to you. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked. Once walked before you were called by God and received His knowledge of how we should be walking, how we should be living our lives. You lived in them. Verse 8, but now you must also put off all these other things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. This is what we should have done when we come to the truth and baptize and the laying on of hands. Put off the old man that was doing wrong and put on the new with who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him, speaking of God, who created them. God created us, and He owns us, and He is teaching us, showing us He has called us for a special reason. We're not just sitting here because we wanted to walk in the door and sit down. God has called us, and we need to be living our lives accordingly. Put on the armor of light from God, the armor of God. Again, we are in warfare. If we are sleepy and weak, Satan will seek you out. If you leave a crack in the door and do one little stupid thing wrong, Satan is going to and fro, and he is running up there to God. Oh, did you see what so-and-so did? Let me test him. Let me work him over. Satan wants to find cracks in the door so that he can laugh at us and knock us down. That's why we need to repent daily and ask for God's protection. Put on the armor of God's light. Live the best we can, not being lukewarm, but being on fire. Let's turn over to Galatians 3, just a few pages back. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you that were baptized into the church have put on Christ. Think how wonderful that is. We have put on Christ. There is no going back. There is no going back at all. We have to go forward in our conversion to live our lives as Christ did so that we can be like God, that we can put on that character. And we have to avoid feeding the flesh throughout this process of conversion. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the Spirit of God. That's, like I mentioned before, with the laying on of hands after we were baptized, we have that little seed of God's Holy Spirit in us. And we have to feed it constantly, daily, through our prayer and Bible study. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, God knows what we can stand, and He will always find us a way of escape. Yeah, Satan's going to be up there going to and fro. He's going to be going up to God saying, oh, look at old so-and-so over here. Look what he did. Wasn't that so dumb? Let me test him. Let me try him. Let me work on him a little bit. And God will let you go through some trials because God wants to see where you're at in your character. He wants to let you be tested from time to time. But He will always find us a way of escape out if we are on the ball, if we're interested, if we have God's light truly in us, if we're not lazy, if we're not asleep. God will find that way of escape out for us, and we need to take that exit. Take that exit off of that road. This little flicker of life we are living is very, very serious business. Very, very serious business. We are living in this physical form right now as a classroom to learn by. We are temporary. We are made of the ground. We're not very much. It's only God's Spirit in us that is anything. And this little flicker of life that we are living is very serious business. And it will determine how our works are, how we live our lives. It will determine if God can trust us enough to be changed from this physical form to a spirit being that will live forever. That's a big decision that God has to make with each one of us. and how we live in this life with the knowledge that God has given us, the decisions that we make will determine if we will be in God's kingdom. This little flicker of life that we have is a short time, and we need to be working on it. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. Let's see here. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 and 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be serious. Be sober-minded. Be on the ball. Be awake. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. We need to pray about that, about each other, help others, love others. We'll cover a multitude of sins, your very own. God sees that you have your heart in the right place. So in closing, anybody feeling sleepy? I hope not. hope I didn't put anybody asleep here. So in closing, let's turn over to 1 John 1. First John 1, verses 5 through 9. But whoever keeps God's word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. We need to be thinking about the way we are living our lives. Well, what would God do in this situation? How did he carry himself? What thoughts were in his mind? These are things that we need to, as a gauge, as we go through our work in school, whatever we are doing. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. God is working this out in our conversion. He is driving out the darkness in our life, and the true light is filling up the void. If we are interested, if we are awake, our conversion is working. God's light is already shining. Verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Test yourselves. He told us to love one another. If we have any hate or any discord with any brother, that means anybody, we need to root it out. Again, let's all stay awake for the rest of our lives and truly walk in God's light. We have a lot to think about as we live every hour of our lives.